Thank you, Dave. Praise the Lord. Beautiful song. Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel 35, we continue the passage that we were on this morning. And Ezekiel 35, I'm just going to read the first seven verses tonight. Ezekiel 35, verse 1. And preached this morning, the title was, They Shall Know. And verse 9, verse 12, and verse 15, references made that they shall know that I am the Lord, God said. God was pointing out that Mount Seir was in trouble here. And we pick up in verse 1, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee. And I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. And therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, sith thou hast not hated blood. Even blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. Father, I pray for your guidance tonight as we continue in your word to study this passage, this story in the scriptures, one that started and has not had an end. It just continues. And Father, I pray that you'll show us some things in our own lives tonight that will help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And as I mentioned, Mount Seir is in trouble. Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir. Prophesy against it. Let them know. Let them know they've gone against God. Let them know that that they are going to be destroyed. We talked about this this morning, that Mount Seir is, of course, the capital of the nation called Edom. And we'll make reference to the Edomites. And today, that would be the Arabs of Jordan, Saudi Arabia, many, many Muslims, and it would take in those people. And this passage is a passage that deals with God's judgment. God says, I am against thee. He says, prophesy against them. And they're in serious trouble. And though Seir is the capital of the nation, they are going to be desolate, God says. And the whole nation, Edom, is going to be desolate. Now, I do want to remind you that Edom is the nickname for Esau. And so everything goes back to Esau. We didn't really talk about that much this morning, but that is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Again, this land is pretty much the Arabs of Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Muslims. And what I'm telling you, and we talked about this morning, is God says, they're going to know that I'm the Lord. You know, we hear all this stuff, well, you know, Allah Akbar and all this kind of stuff, and Allah is king, and, you know, Allah, let me tell you something, whoever Allah is, if he's telling people to go around cutting everybody's heads off and to be persecuted like they're doing, I'll tell you what, that's not our God. Our God is a God, oh yeah, he's a God that's going to pronounce judgment. He's a God that's going to definitely we're going to see his wrath. But praise God, he sent his son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. And God says they're going to know one of these days. They're going to know that I'm the Lord. And I talked about this morning, they shall know God's omnipresence, they shall know God's omniscience, and they shall know God's omnipotence. I'm not going to re-preach that, but that was from the last part of this passage. God said, I don't care what they're up to, don't care what they've got figured out and what they're going to do. God says, they're going to know that I'm God, and they're going to know that my people are my people, and I'm going to take care of my people. And so this prophecy, this judgment of God on them, the question has to be asked, you know, what is their problem? What are they so angry about? What is going on? Well, notice what they're actually doing. Ezekiel 25, verse 12. Go back there. Ezekiel 25, and I made a little reference to this. Anytime the children of Israel were taken captive, anytime they were conquered, anytime they were defeated, the Edomites would actually rejoice. They would cheer. They would actually help in the capture and the destruction of Israel. They would help in the attack, the persecution. They would cheer. They would mock. They hated them so much. They would be involved in the captivity themselves. Ezekiel 25 and verse 12, it is spoken of several times in the book of Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. God said, I am going to deal with Edom. Edom hates my people, and God says, I am going to deal with them. Go, if you will, to Obadiah. Keep your place in Ezekiel. We will be back there. But go to the book of Obadiah, right after Amos. I knew that would help you. Obadiah, let's see, verse 10. Obadiah, verse 10, page 1417 in your super giant print King James Bible. Amen. Obadiah 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Notice, he is just letting them have it. Because in the day of their calamity, yes, God, it was God's will that the captivity take place, and it was punishment for sin. But the Edomites, they thought it was hilarious. They mocked, they cheered, they laughed, and notice God is not happy about that. I gave the illustration of the times, and we've all, well, I don't know if we've all been there, but I remember clearly one time my sister got in trouble and got a spanking, and I remember being in the same room, and Dad's about to spank her, and I started laughing. And that didn't work out well at all for me. Not at all. God says, hey, I deal with my people, you leave my people alone. That's exactly what he's saying. And he says in verse 14 of Obadiah, neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. I mean, people tried to escape, and the Edomites, they killed them, or they pointed them out, or they made sure they were captured. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. I mean, here's Israel and Judah, and these people, they're brothers. They're related. I mean, they all are relatives. And here they are when the captivity, the judgment of God, or whatever was taking place on the Jews, they thought it was wonderful. And as we talked this morning, they thought if all the Jews would be wiped out, if Israel were actually wiped out and the people gone and the cities burned, they thought they could move in and take over. By the way, the Edomites have always, and they will continue to try to inhabit God's land, his people's land. But remember what we talked about. God said, oh, but I was there. And praise the Lord, God is there. And they can't. Nobody can do anything but what God allows to take place. And so again, we read over and over again, the Edomites, they were just such a thorn in the side of the Jews, and they still are. Again, as I mentioned this morning, Israel is surrounded by Edomites all around it, and the whole idea, we're going to crush you, and they should be able to crush them. If you look at it, and you look at the numbers, and you look at the weapons, and you look at everything, they should be able to defeat them and take Israel, except for one thing. God's there, and they're not going to be able to. But notice in Amos chapter 1, and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever." I want to talk to you tonight, back in Ezekiel 35 and verse 5, two words that are there, I have them underlined in my Bible, perpetual hatred. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Perpetual. Amos talks about his anger, his wrath, perpetually. It talks about this perpetual hatred. The message tonight is not about what they did. We talked more about that this morning. It's not the resulting judgment of God. We talked about that. We talked about the omnipotence of God. And nothing would stop that judgment, and it will not stop it, and it will be a land that is desolate one day. And they have sought the blood of Israel and Judah, and God said, their blood is what's going to take place. But I don't want to talk about what they did or the judgment of God, because I want to talk to you tonight about why. Why? I mean, Amos said they're so angry, and their wrath is perpetual. It's forever, and we keep watching it. Edomites, the Muslim nations, Arab, Jordan, you know, it's like we are going to crush Israel. What is it? Do you ever wonder why do they hate him so bad? What is it that God is talking about? And we read it in the news day after day. What terrible thing did Israel do? What terrible thing had Israel done to them that would cause them to, when the Babylonians came, to turn their brothers in to the Babylonians and have them arrested and taken captive? What terrible thing did they do that they would point out the hiding places of the Jews and so that they could be slaughtered? What terrible thing could it be that would cause them to laugh and mock when their brothers, the Jews, were being slaughtered? What could it be? Why? How could they have so much hatred? What had Israel done to them? And I ask you, as you read the news day in and day out, what is causing all this hate? Why do they hate Israel so much? Let's go back centuries before in Genesis 25. Genesis 25 and verse 29. And actually, this is a very, very simple, simple truth, and yet it could be one of the scariest things in a Christian's life. Genesis 25 and verse 29. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau, there's Esau. Esau, again, when it talks about the Edomites, that all goes back to Esau. Everything goes back to Esau. You know the story here. Jacob sowed pottage. Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Now there's boy, what a perfect picture of the flesh. Here he's going to sell his birthright to fill his belly. How many people will sell something that is precious and wonderful to satisfy their flesh? For what, 5 minutes? For what, 10 minutes? You know, it happens every day. It happens with lust. It happens with pornography. It happens with alcohol. It happens with drugs. It happens so many times in our lives. And Esau, the Bible says, he made a deal. Verse 33, Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. The Bible says Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and you know he was laughing. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now wait a minute. I want you to understand what just happened. Esau's guts were growling. Esau was hungry. Jacob had some soup made, some kind of vegetable soup, maybe chili type thing, something like that. I don't know what it was. And Esau said, hey, brother, I'm hungry. And Jacob said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bowl of this soup. I'll sell it to you. Esau, well, what will it cost? He said, your birthright. What's that mean? That's everything. These were twin brothers, but Esau was the firstborn. He came out first. And Esau had the birthright. He inherits everything from his dad. But what was more important to Esau? A bowl of soup. Right then, he didn't care. Hey, young people, it may not look like it matters right now. I'll tell you what, one day it will matter. You go putting a tattoo on your body, it may not look like, oh, that's cute. Boy, that's fun. One of these days, you're not going to be too happy. You marry Betty and you have Mary's name on you, she may not appreciate that too much. We do so many dumb things, don't we? We really do. We do so many foolish things, spur of the moment, just like Esau did. Now, again, I'm not going to be too hard on Esau because, hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. Our guts growl and we move, you know. Our lusts well up in us and we look. Or we listen, or our curiosity. You know, we want to hear that latest gossip, or we want to check out what everybody's saying on Facebook. You know, we're all prone to do what Esau did because of our flesh. But the whole thing here is this, and I hope you get this. Esau made a choice with his brother Jacob. Oh, Jacob made. You say, well, Jacob tricked him. I understand. But Esau made his choice too. Now, here's the thing. Later on, Isaac, their father, is about to die. And you know the story. He's ready to give the blessing. He doesn't know about the deal that was made. And in fact, I think really Esau probably forgot about it. He thought, oh, that's no big deal. Jacob didn't forget about it. And we go to Genesis 27 and verse 33. And the word Jacob, his name itself means trickster. And he tricks his dad. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Genesis 27 and verse 33, the Bible says, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. Jacob had gone in and taken the birthright. By the way, that was the deal that his brother made. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Notice he regrets what he did. He wishes he hadn't made that choice that day when his guts were growling. But it's done. It's done. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. He wants it now. Boy, he wishes he had it now. He wishes he had made that decision. But literally, Jacob received the birthright that was supposed to go to Esau. And boy, verse 41, it says very clearly, look at it. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. He hated him so much. When my father dies, I will kill my brother. I hate my brother. You say, what is it, preacher, that causes little old Israel to get all that attention from all those people, those Edomites all around? What is it that causes them to hate Israel so much? It's a perpetual hatred. It ought to scare every one of us, literally ought to scare us to death. A perpetual hatred. A hatred that is so strong. It is so deadly that all these years, think about it, all these years, every time the Jews were persecuted, the Babylonian captivity, the Roman conquering of Jerusalem, Edomites all around would laugh and mock and say, "Kill them all!" And it all goes back to verse 41. Esau hated Jacob. Now, you know the story, and it is a long story. Jacob, of course, inherits Canaan. He receives the blessing, just exactly how the deal was made with his brother Esau. Esau moves to Seir, the land of Edom. And after many, many years, you know the story. After many, many years, notice what happens in Genesis 33 and verse 4. And then I'm going to start preaching, then we're going to be done. Genesis 33 and verse 4. Remember the story, how that Jacob now is going to have to face his brother Esau. Of course, you know, he's terrified. He is absolutely terrified. And he really has to get right with God. Esau has been blessed. Esau has built his own business, and he has men. He has 400 men, 400 soldiers with him. And Jacob is scared to death. What is my brother going to do? What is going to happen after all these years? Genesis 33:4 is so important. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Boy, isn't that good? That's what should happen, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, the two brothers, after all those years, I mean, Jacob's scared. He thinks Esau is going to kill him. But they made up. And you know something? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say if those two ever quarreled again. The Bible doesn't say. Esau offers to protect him and take care of him and all these things. And the Bible doesn't say if they ever got into it again. As far as we know, they didn't. As far as we know, they were brothers. They were, they kind of went their separate ways. But as far as we know, there was no animosity from that time forth. Esau and Jacob are reconciled. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but what about the rest of our story? Oh, yeah. That's the sad part. Because the story continues even today. It's in our news. The story can go back into history and look at the Babylonian captivity. You'll study it. Study the Romans conquering Jerusalem, and when they came in, and history is overwhelmingly supporting the fact that the Edomites have always, always looked for the destruction of Israel and Judah and final possession of their land. You know why they wanted their land? Because, I'll tell you why. Because they said it should have been ours. Wait a minute, Esau didn't say that in chapter 33, did he? Esau said, "My brother," and he shook hands with him, and he kissed him, and they made up. But what about all of Esau's family and all of Esau's friends? You see, it's a perpetual hatred. You say, "Well, I thought they made up." Oh, they did. As far as we know, they did make up. As far as we know, they got everything right with each other. But I want you to try to imagine the day Esau walked away after he lost his blessing. Oh, remember, he gave it up. He despised his birthright, the Bible says. But I want you to try to imagine Esau on that day. "I will kill my brother Jacob. I will kill him." And all of a sudden, his wife comes up and he says, "Honey, you're not going to believe what my brother did." And all of a sudden, here comes little Poindexter, and here's little Throckmorton, and all the family, and they gather, and they're sitting down at the supper table, and they're all gathered there, and all the family, and he says, "You know what? Your Uncle Jacob, I'm going to kill him. I hate him." Well, then then they told their friends, and then they told their friends. And then somebody posted it on Facebook. And pretty soon everybody knew, hey, Esau is going to kill Jacob. He hates him. And all the people that loved Esau, you know, it's like, hey, this is so terrible. How in the world could he do this? His wife, his kids, his in-laws, his friends, his co-workers, they saw him. They heard him weep. They felt his hurt and his pain and that hatred. There was that all was in one heart, Esau's. That hatred, it was passed on. That's why when you sit down to eat, be careful what you talk about. Amen. Fellas, that's why when you talk to your wife, be careful what you say. Because it can pass on so easily. You know why it passes on so easily? Because Satan wants you to hate. I mean, sir, okay, tomorrow, just look in your newspaper. Check out the news. Something in there is going to be exactly what I'm talking about. It's almost every day, the Middle East, and the hatred that the Edomites have for the Jews. And I'm telling you, it all goes right back to that day when Esau said, I want some soup. And he hated his brother. He hated him so much, he spread it to everybody he knew. And that anger and that hatred became a bitterness as all these people, relatives, all the way down the line, they took up his offense and then they passed it on to everybody. So that today, all these years later, when you say, what is it they have against him? That's what it goes back to. It all goes back to that. You see, Jacob and his family, well, they had the family estate with all the fortune of Isaac. Esau and his family had to go carve out a whole new existence at Mount Seir. And you know, every time they had to work extra, and maybe they kind of thought about Jacob's family and all that they received and how they didn't get it. They may have thought, and Satan, boy, he knows how to twist all that stuff and just make it work on you and everything. And Esau eventually, he laid down his hate. He forgave his brother and got it right with his brother. But not before it spread to generations and generations of people. And so today when the Jews suffer, the Edomites cheer. When a Jew dies, the Edomites rejoice, all because of perpetual hatred. And God says, I'll judge. I'll judge. The Babylonians are coming, as our text says. Edom is going to take full advantage of this opportunity so that more and more Jews can be slaughtered. They even helped to shed the blood. They were so full of hatred. I'm talking about not just moms and dads. I'm talking about little children. And they rejoiced. Kill them all. I submit to you tonight, it's dangerous to pass on and receive hate. Husband has work issues and the wife hates his boss. Kids have school issues, and a parent hates a teacher. A friend goes through a nasty, difficult divorce, and you hate their spouse. As a pastor in counseling and all that, I hear of offenses, I hear hatred, I hear wrongs being done, I hear about adultery, I hear about parents abusing their children, I hear about pornography, I have to counsel and forget all of that as best I can and never, ever pass it on. Because I'm telling you, there isn't anything. Do you understand what is going to happen to the Edomites according to what God has said? You say, oh, preacher, they hate. They hate God's people. Does the Bible say that we're not supposed to hate? Well, then why in the world would we pass hate on to anybody? And so I come to these three things. I'm going to make three statements and we'll be done. Number one is very simple. Don't hate. Don't hate. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. First John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Don't hate. You see, it's our responsibility not to hate. Any individual one of us, it is our responsibility. I cannot hate my brother. I shouldn't hate lost people. I need to hate sin, but love sinners. Amen. And as the days get tougher, folks, I'm telling you, I hear people saying things that you know, this certain group, you know, and maybe it's the homosexuals or whatever, and I just really, Satan would love for you to hate him. Oh, he would delight in us hating them. You know, I'm fed up with all of it. I'll be honest with you. I don't like any of the legislature and some of the things that are going on. But don't hate people. Amen. You know what? Learn to forgive. Amen. Learn to give people the benefit of the doubt. I've said this so many times. 90%, 95%, I think, of problems, the people didn't mean it. They weren't out to ruin somebody's life. They're not out to hurt you. Well, they parked in my spot. Okay, well, they weren't trying to ruin your life. You know, they didn't park in your spot because they hate you. They maybe it was raining and they couldn't see that it was had your name on it. I don't know. I'm serious. Most of the things that we get bent out of shape over, if you just give a benefit of a doubt, you'll find out that especially if you ever do find out, if you have to find out, that it was a misunderstanding in the first place. But it's our responsibility to not hate. You see, here's the thing that gets missed in all. Well, you know what? I mean, let's just have a little discussion about this thing. I mean, really, Jacob did trick his brother. And as that gets passed down through the ages, years and years and years, you know, people could get pretty, Jacob, all his people, they're a bunch of wicked tricksters, every one of them. Wait a minute. There were two people that knew exactly what took place there, right? Yeah. And you know what Esau would have to say? Well, I did make the choice. Amen. I did. My guts were growling. And I really was hungry. You know, and I really, why? How do you think Esau could come back to his brother and shake hands with him and hug him and kiss him and love him again after when all these others are absolutely hating his brother? Because Esau knew the truth. He knew what actually had happened. He knew he was not innocent. Okay, Jacob's a trickster. Okay, Jacob took advantage of his guts growling. Okay. I understand. All the restaurant owners in Adrian do that every Sunday. They take advantage of our guts growling. Amen. Okay. Don't hate. Number one. Number two, so important, don't pass on hate. Proverbs 6, verse 19. Proverbs 6. In verse 19, I'm on the back page about a fourth of the way done. See? And if this front group keeps looking intelligent, that's what it always hinges on. Young Luke is looking real intelligent. He is sound asleep. Proverbs 6, verse 19. I said, number one, don't hate. I said, number two, don't pass on hate. Proverbs 6 and verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. What's it say? In verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Don't pass on hate. Sowing discord is when everything is in harmony and the tenors are singing their part right and the basses are singing their part right, the altos are singing their part right, and the sopranos are singing their part right, and somebody jumps in and sings their part wrong. And everything's beautiful, and then all of a sudden here comes, ah! And ah, says to Kenny, here's the note, Kenny. Ah, do it with me. Ah, you can't even do it, can you? Do it, dear. Ah, see, that's called, what's that? That's now we've got, well, the tenors and the basses and the sopranos and the altos. Everything's good except for he and I, because now we're in discord. We're not on the same chord. We're not even on the same page. We're not even on the same staff. I mean, we don't have a clue. And now Jessica, join us, Jessica. Ah, it's bad. Now there's three of us messing everything up. And pretty soon we're going to get everybody involved. And we're all going to, you know, and pretty soon nobody's in unity. There's no harmony. And that's why you don't, God, that's why God hates it with such a passion. Sowing discord among the brethren. You know, it's like, well, yeah, but Kenny made me mad. Okay, well, then Kenny and I need to work that out. Okay? And it's none of Darren's business. So why would I want to get him singing the same awful note that I'm singing? I got to get right on the right note myself. Not poison him and not poison her and not wake her up or him. See, here's, you know, this is the thing. When you're offended, don't pass it on to anybody else. Just keep it to yourself. Amen. Stuff happens all the time. And I come home, my wife says, well, honey, what happened today? And I say, oh, lots of exciting things. She always says, like what? And I said, well, and I tell her everything good that happened. And never tell her anything bad. I'm being honest as I can be. Is that true? We just don't talk negative about anything. And I'm sure not going to tell her if somebody, you know, if somebody offended me or something else. That's for me to deal with. Because chances are very good. Are you listening? Chances are real good. Like Esau, I'm going to get that worked out with that person. Chances are real good that you will too. Don't poison a whole bunch of other folks with it. Don't pass it on to anybody else, especially moms and dads. Don't set your kids up to hate. You're setting them up to fail. I just think of all the families involved with Mount Seir and all those Edomites that followed along just because Esau said, I'm going to kill Jacob someday, and somebody else said, he's going to kill Jacob. Did you hear that he's going to kill Jacob? Did you hear about him? Oh, yeah. Why? What happened? I don't know. Jacob did something really bad. I know it was really bad. Don't pass on hate. Don't pass on hate. Don't pass on hate. Number one, don't hate. Number two, don't pass on hate. Last thing, don't receive hate. You don't want it. You don't need it. I've said it all my ministry. The thing God dealt with me down in Bible college, the one of the things that convinced me I could never pastor is if I had bitterness in my heart, and I had bitterness toward my parents. And I still can remember in the gym, they had Wednesday night services in the gym, and I remember a preacher preaching on something. I don't think it had anything to do with bitterness, and God told me and showed me clearly, you are bitter towards your parents, and you'll never pastor a church with that bitterness in your heart. And I got on an altar there. I got at the front of the stage there, and I wept and I cried my heart out to God. And I got on the phone afterwards, and I called my parents. They had no clue what in the world I was talking about. And I said, Mom and Dad, you know, I talked to them individually, and I said, I apologize. I have been bitter toward you because of some of the things when I was a child. And you know what? I forgive you, and I am no longer bitter, and I love you, and it's gone, and it's been gone. And it never came back. I beg you, I plead with you, if that's in your heart, get rid of it. And don't receive hate. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20. It ought to get our attention, and it got my attention as I was reading about the Edomites and thinking about all of it. Look how fast it and how far it's gone. It is today. Talk to an Edomite today about Israel, and they're going to tell you, we will destroy them one day. We will possess their land. And what will they say? Because it's ours. It's ours. And what are they talking about? Esau made a bad choice. Great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Esau made a bad choice. That's the whole thing. Well, yeah, but what about Jacob? Yeah, but what about Esau? Let him work it out. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And when they're in that innermost part of the belly, they are bitter, and they become a root of bitterness, and you are the one who is going to get burnt. Who's the one that's going to get burnt according to Ezekiel? All of these descendants who hate Israel, that's who's going to get burnt. That's why I say, don't receive hate. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. Do you see that? I didn't write it. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Well, I just need to calm him down. Be careful. Because the next time you're going to be the one that's furious. You know? Be careful. God wrote it, I didn't. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or them that are sureties for death. But again, the whole idea here is don't receive hate. Three things and we're done. First of all, you don't know all the facts. What if Mrs. Esau would have known that maybe Esau didn't tell her? By the way, you ever do something in your world and you didn't tell your wife the whole story? Well, I mean, really, you don't. Can you imagine Esau saying, "You know what, honey? I sold my birthright. I let it go, and she says, "Honey, why would you do that? Why? I mean, that's our whole future. That's everything. That's the children going to college. That's cars. That's, you know, it's everything. Honey, why would you do that?" Well, I was hungry. You think he probably figured out some way to sort of spin that a little different direction. Perhaps. And Mrs. Esau, you know, she probably didn't hear the whole story. And no human is omniscient as God is. There's two sides to every story. The Bible says very clearly about Esau, he despised his birthright. By the way, try to tell an Edomite that today. Hey, you know, you folks don't deserve this land. Esau despised his birthright. No, Jacob tricked him. No, Esau was carnal. He was hungry, and he sold his birthright. Hebrews 12, verse 16, it talks about it. Hebrews 12 and verse 16. The Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Boy, God makes it really look bad. one morsel of meat for a birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He could not change things. And I guarantee his wife saw him. She heard him weeping. His children heard it. They saw it. His neighbors, his co-workers, everybody around him. But they did not, I can guarantee you, they did not know that Esau had a part. Jacob stole that thing. He stole that thing. He stole our land. He stole all these things. And I'm going to tell you why you don't receive hate. Somebody comes to you and they say, well, I just can't stand so-and-so and I'm mad. I don't care if it's their parents. Don't care who it is. You need to just kind of walk away. Amen. You better just walk away. Amen. And just say, listen, I don't know the whole story. I don't know the whole story. Just give it time. Pray about it. Give it a little bit of time. And because you don't know all the facts, you can't deal with it. There wasn't anybody else who could deal with it except Esau. It's not possible for Mrs. Esau to deal with it. It's not possible for all the little Esauettes to deal with it. They can't handle it. They don't know what happened. Esau knew. That's why he got right with his brother. That's why they became brothers again. Don't receive hate because you don't know all the facts. Secondly, you aren't given the grace to deal with it. I cannot tell you anything more important than what I just told you. You aren't given the grace to deal with it because it doesn't involve you. Now, how did Esau, he lost everything because he made a bad deal. His brother tricked him, I understand. It worked both ways. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, God's grace was in Esau and Jacob being brothers again. We can see that clearly. They became brothers again, and you read it. I want to shout and say, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's because God gave grace for them to be brothers again. But I got news for you. All the other people that were involved on Esau's side, they weren't given the grace of God to deal with it. Hence, today, the Edomites hate the Jews. You're not given the grace to deal with it. Why? Because the offense isn't against you. Oh, the amazing grace of God when we're wronged, or even when we think we're wronged, He alone can make it go away. You see, here's how He can do it, because Esau could be fuming, and he did for days, I'm sure, and maybe months and maybe years. And Esau could be, but eventually, God reminds Esau, remember your guts growling? Remember how hungry you were? Remember you made that choice? Do you remember your part in all this? And Esau, yeah, I did. And God gives him grace to make it go away. Because God knew the whole story. But there's no grace for the one who picks up the offense or the hatred. What do they have? They end up with hatred. And they die with hatred. And if you have picked up somebody's offense and you've carried it, could be for years, and you've carried that along all these years, and you have hate in your heart toward anybody, you have to understand, there is no way for you to have victory. Until you face that and say, God, I picked up something that I should not have picked up. And it's none of my business. That's why, honestly, folks, if you're one of these that likes to scan Facebook and find the latest scandal, I feel sorry for you. Because you're begging. You are begging to destroy your life. You're asking for a life of not being able to look anybody in the eye. You're begging for a life where you suspect and question and wonder about every person you run into. And there's no way in this world you can have the love of Jesus for people if you believe all that wicked stuff about people. And it becomes a root of bitterness, and a root of bitterness is hard to get out. don't receive hate. You don't know all the facts. Don't receive hate. You're not given the grace to deal with it. And then lastly, don't receive hate because only God can bring vengeance. And that's where you run into your biggest problem. That's exactly where they ran into. Do you think God can deal with Israel? That's what the captivity was all about. That's what every time God's people were conquered, that's what it was all about. And yet, we hate them and we want to see them destroyed. And well, the captivity comes and it's like, all right, they're wiped out. And God said, yeah, but I'm still here. You are not going to get what you want. And you know what? When you receive somebody else's offense and somebody else's hatred, you're never going to receive what you want. Because only God brings vengeance. Because He knows the whole story. Romans 12, verse 19, look at it. Romans 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God's judgment is a righteous judgment. The Edomites took vengeance. They usurped God's place. They usurped the place of God Almighty and said, we will make this come to pass. We'll make this happen. We'll destroy Israel and we will inhabit their land and we'll make all this right. Only God can make all this right. He's the only one. When a friend or a loved one, somebody you know is hurt or offended, you need to love them. You need to support them. You need to pray for them. You need never to take their hate. Never pick up their offense and make it yours. Never listen to hate. Never just sit and relish in hate. Because here's what you'll find yourself doing. And it's just like the Edomites. You'll hear that somebody has cancer. And you'll say, serves them right. And it's like, how in the world could a child of God ever say that? And you'll say, because I'm mad at him. Wait a minute. What'd they do to you? Well, they did it to my friend's best friend's cousin's aunt's uncle. Oh. And that affected you how? It did affect you. But only because you picked it up and made it part of your life. And folks, we cannot do that. Must not do that. And so somebody says, you know, my boss at work is doing me wrong. You know what? I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Do you want me to tell you about it? No, you don't have to tell me about it. I can understand you. I can see you're upset. I'll just pray for you. I don't have to know. I don't have to know all the ins and outs. Well, my husband did this. You know what? I want to keep looking at your husband and being able to talk to you. Just, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray for you. I don't have to know all the details. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I'll pray for you, though. And I'll pray for you and your husband that you get that thing worked out. You say, yeah, but preacher, I want to know. That's your problem. That's the problem. Because you go from one click to the next click to the next click to, not Sheila click, but you go from one click to another click, and then you look, and then you gaze, and then you keep track, and you take all that stuff in, and pretty soon, you pretty much hate everybody. And something happens to somebody, and you say, well, it serves them right. And again, how can a child of God say that? And so don't receive hate, and don't hate, and don't pass on hate. And don't receive an offense. You know, God knows the offender, God knows the offense, and God knows the offended. And God's going to take care of it. The best example of a perpetual hatred, and I close with this. This is a good example of, and the Bible even says the words perpetual hatred. And we watch it. We're going to watch it till the end. We're going to see it till the end. when the Edomites are finally, totally wiped out and they know that God is God. Why is God so angry? Because they hate his people. Why do they hate his people? Because Jacob tricked Esau, because Esau made a bad choice. But the most vicious example of perpetual hatred is found in Genesis chapter 3. And you talk about an example, and it's not one that I think you would want to be a part of. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that enmity between the serpent and mankind. Why does the devil hate us so bad? Oh, that's been since that time right there. And he hates you. He hates us. He hates Jesus Christ. And that perpetual hatred is going to fuel him. Are you listening? It's going to fuel him and the Antichrist and the false prophet and a world system, cosmos, that absolutely, positively hates God and his people and hates enough to slice our throats. And that hatred will drive them to the lake of fire. It is that strong. Don't be associated with hatred. Don't be associated with the perpetual hatred. Don't hate. Don't receive hate. Don't pass on hate. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.